Welcome to our podcast. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's lurking around each and every corner. Now here are your hosts, Todd and Sean. And they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to episode 21. Nate is your sound engineer. Sean and I are your host. And we are middle-aged and creeped out. Today was the first day of school.
Yay. Oh, my God. And we all survived.
We all did.
And none of us had to actually go to school. We still survived.
Yeah, right.
That's a plus.
Yeah. Everything went well. I take it.
Yeah, everybody went good. Yeah, everybody loved it and was excited so and survived. So, all good. And good. Mom and Dad did, too.
Yeah.
You guys all survived?
I'm here.
Yeah, me too.
We're still standing.
Went well enough, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
No, it did, though. The morning went smooth and everybody was out the door on time. And I was like, all right, it's the way to get it started.
I assume mine are out the door on time. I was up in Kokomo.
So. Yeah, you're in K-Town.
Oh, okay, yeah, so you're long gone, early. Yeah,
I had the day off, and normally this is a day that I try to avoid because Jenna tends to get very emotional. She's not a real emotional person normally, and she would admit that. But on days back to school, she's normally a crier, and she did not cry today. So I told her, I'm like, are you okay? But, hey, we got 2, 4, 6, and 8 grade, so that's...
2, 4, 6, and 8
Who do we appreciate? Mom and Dad.
Yeah. They better, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got 5th and 8th.
Uh-huh. Freshman and 7th.
Oh, man.
Gosh. They're all getting
big. Wild? It's really weird.
Yeah,
you know?
They grow up quick.
I used to get so tired of that all the time. Oh, just wait. They grow up fast or just...
I know.
Like, can
I
you...
Know.
And here we are.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have a middle schooler and a freshman next year, so... It's true what they say.
Well, it doesn't stop either.
I mean, no.
You start your working career and you're 20 years old and they're like, just a blink of an eye, you'll be 40. And it's like, yep, I'm there.
Just in their clothes alone, like the clothes they pick out,
mm-hmm.
you know, or that we pick out for them or whatever. And it's like, wait a minute, you're too young to be so old, you know, and then they're in the behaviors, right? So it does. It hits you.
Yeah,
hits you right between the eyes.
My boys are heavy into Hawaiian shirts right now.
Okay.
They make them look good.
Yeah.
Their picture look good today.
Not everybody can pull those off.
I can't pull them off.
I couldn't. I never, yeah.
I could, because I don't care.
At least you know that,
I
right?
I couldn't pull it off. Well, no, I couldn't. I know.
Now, we got to talk about, you got to be able to pull off the chest hair, you know, like the Don Johnson look, you know, where the chest hair is sticking out, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I definitely can't pull that off.
I can do that.
Nate's like, I got that.
Like, I got that.
I got that. All right, now we're going to have to take pictures of that. Now,
we are,
right?
Yeah. That'd be middle-aged creepy.
Oh, that is a creeped out. Creepy.
Yeah, Elijah was got a phone call from his buddy, so they're not in the same class this year. It's his best buddy, Matthew. Shout out to Matthew. And so he gets a phone call. He's actually FaceTiming from, I think, his sister's phone, Matthew was. And they're talking, and Amy and I are listening. Like, it's just funny to hear 2 5th graders, like, what's their conversations like, you know?
Uh-huh.
Dude, you know, no. You know, so then... we're like, where are you going? He's like, oh, I'm going back here to talk to Matthew. So, and we're like, oh. And so we're like, we want to keep hearing what he's talking about because it's just funny. Just
it's cute.
2 10-year-olds, yeah, yakking like they're 22, you know. Yeah. Just, I don't know. Hey, bro, what's up? Hey, man. Talking about this. Oh, this guy sucked. No, he was doing this. He was just showing off. You know, just all the boy stuff, just nonsense, whatever they were talking about.
Harrison got back from football practice and all the other three went. Like to different friends' homes, and so you could tell they were so excited to go tell their friends how the day went. And you know what I mean.
It's a big day.
But I stopped Ella because Ella got mad. Claire was trying to do a special thing for Jenna that Jenna asked her to do, and so Ella wanted to do it, and she was like, "What? I wanted to do it?" And I said, "Ella, I need you over here. Can you come here and help Dad?" I said, "I'm leaving. I'm going to go to the podcast." And I said, I need a coach moment. I was like, I need you to tell me. I'm like, we're going to cover something that's kind of rough and something that I need like some confidence instilled in me. And she's like, you can do it, Dad. I was like, thank you.
She so grabbed me by the cheeks.
She did. Yeah. She's like, you can do it.
Head butt you.
She gave me like a fist bump and put me back in the game. So I was like, I needed that, Ella.
Nothing like getting a pep talk from a second grader.
Yeah. And it also avoided the 2 sisters getting into it. So I was like, whew. But I did need her. I needed a little pep talk.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I'm glad everybody went, or everything went well for the first day, and we all survived. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now we're talking in the microphone.
I think I get more nervous than the kids. I get nervous for them, you know what I mean? Like that. And they were like, oh, I wasn't nervous, so.
Oh, yeah. To them, it's no big deal. They
know
what they're getting into. And
parental warning, you know.
But we like all their teachers, and we met their Elijah's, you know, homeroom teacher, main teacher, and then he's got a different reading teacher.
Yeah.
And just great ladies, seemed genuine and nice. And yeah. And he loved it. Yeah. He thought it was awesome.
That's awesome.
And then Olivia likes all her different teachers in middle school. And so, hey, there we go. And then she's trying out for volleyball. So tomorrow night, we will know if she makes it or not. So
very cool. Good luck to her then.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a big, you know, that'd be fun. Not just starting a school, but it's trying out for the team.
Mm-hmm.
Claire, if not, she's busting her butt and we're proud of her. And then she'll move on to, she'll play like she did last year in another league. And
very cool.
Still play volleyball, but she wants to make it so bad. But, you know, whatever.
Claire's funny because she's doing softball and she's trying out for cheerleading. And then today she was big stuff because I took her. I normally take Harrison and drop him off for middle school. And now that Claire's in middle school, I dropped both of them off. And she started, like, the last 5 minutes before I drop her off, she's starting to ask all these questions to Harrison and I. And I was like, honey, do you know where you're going? And you know what you're doing? Are you sure you know? And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. And so Harrison was telling her, like, giving her pointers and, just, you know, if in doubt, go to the office and ask this person that. She didn't listen to any of it. She, like, ended up in the wrong first class. And she was, we got a message that said that she wasn't there. Like, so anyway, we got it all straightened out. But she was fine. Like, it didn't, like, for me, those are, like, that's, like, what nightmares are made out of.
So, you know, she is a female, so
it's funny that she's
not going to take direction well. Sorry, out there, ladies. Ow.
Oh, but what was funny, like me, I would probably be like nervous and worried that I messed up, but didn't bother her at all. She was like, cool as a cucumber, and at lunch, she was like, I'm doing fine, you know, like, okay.
That's hilarious.
And she had a great day. So.
Yeah, Harrison was probably more nervous for her.
Didn't get too nervous either, but he was like, is summer really over? I want summer. He's like, a couple more days, a couple more weeks. But.
I know. It is like that. And then once the days, I mean, they're all good. Yeah. I got home and Amy texted me and said, hey, Elijah's next door swimming. Okay. I mean,
yeah,
everything's good. Life's good for them.
Life continues on, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Just one quick question. How's Amy doing? I know she's sick because she's back to school too then.
About time. I mean, I'll tell you. No.
Yeah. No.
When she listens to this, she's going to roll her eyes. Like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, this is her second.
No, but I was.
Thinking, oh, no, I'm sorry.
I was thinking about her and a lot of other teachers going back.
Full week. Yeah. She started Friday was a teacher work day. Monday was a teacher work day. This is the second day for kids.
Mm. Yes.
So, no. I mean, so far, so good for mom. So, yeah.
Good. Yeah. You've been seeing the cars parked in the school parking lots. So you're like, yep, they're getting at it.
Yeah. No, thanks for asking. Yeah.
She's no problem.
Yeah. She's just. So far, so good. Only 4 days in or whatever, but yeah.
When she said how many years she's been in it on Facebook, I was like, man, God bless her.
Yeah, almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Almost 20. Yeah, I'm right there with her.
She's an old gal.
Battlefield, yeah. Yeah. No, we're still young. We've still got a lot of life in us.
Man, you guys are the same age, so that's why. Yeah. all you 42-year-olds.
I wouldn't survive one day in the education, so.
Oh, no. I can't do it. I couldn't do it.
I would end up in the principal's office as a teacher.
As a teacher, yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Why'd you hit that kid? He is asking for it.
Smoking in the boys' room.
Did you have to put the gum in his hair? Yes.
Yes, I did. Did.
Nate, that's hilarious. Yeah, as a teacher, he would be put. Yeah.
Maybe you should go back to welding.
Oh, I can do that.
So you would have a meeting with the guidance counselor. Hey, let's sit down and let's look. I don't think this is for you. We really appreciate the effort, but can you go back to what you're good at?
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. So we are at it, episode 21. Can you believe that? So
21.
Now we're in the 20s.
It's like Vegas, baby.
Oh, yeah. So a couple of announcements, and then we will get to the good stuff. We were told by Aaron Egnatz, who we did an interview with a few weeks ago.
Hey, Aaron.
Yeah. Hi, Aaron. She wanted us to share that if any of our listeners or any followers on our social media, if they want to go on an investigation with her, you're more than welcome to do that. And you can contact her. She's on Facebook and Instagram, and her groups or accounts are called Hauntings Around America. And again, it's Aaron Egnatz, Hauntings Around America. So I thought that was nice that she's, you know, saying, hey, any of your listeners or followers want to join me on an investigation?
Then some of these places, if she's not going with somebody, she's going by herself.
She goes by herself.
And that, to me, is like, I think about that and I'm like, I couldn't do it. Like, we'll go with groups of people or, you know, at least one other person. But for her to go by herself, that to me, that's pretty brave.
You know, I talk tough. I mean, I really do want to go to all these places.
No.
I'm like, but you know, I want to sleep over.
But do it yourself.
These the whole solo deals. I don't think.
It's like doing this podcast by yourself. Like, I'd be like, okay.
I really hand it to her. Yeah.
It's like playing tennis with a cliff.
Well, and it's not even just the scary stuff. It's just like going to these buildings and, you know, I mean, just being there by yourself. And
yeah.
You don't know. It'd somebody scary. Break in or got in there ahead of you. I don't know. It's just a lot of stuff that goes into it. And I'm like, nah, I'm good.
Well, because to me, I'm purely interested in you know, whatever you're going to experience. And I do want to prove that there's ghosts. But when you're by yourself and you're looking for proof for ghosts and you find it, that's got to be super creepy. I know she said that it is. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so yeah. So the invitation is out there.
Did we sell it? I think we sold it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the last shout out is because what we kind of talked about when we first started yapping. Mm-hmm. We want to give a shout out to all the teachers and the students and the faculty. You know, that's your administrators and counselors and then teachers and kids for the, you know, I know some schools started, you know, maybe a week or two early.
Yes.
You know, and I don't know where you're at listening, but shout out to all the school staff. And
Thank you.
Hope your 2022 goes well. And yeah, so.
Janitors too.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Keeping everything clean.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, it takes a village.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm full-time custodian at a church. So yeah. Thank you, Nate.
That's true.
Because they work their butts off. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
Well, our kids are going to a new school and all the road construction construction.
I didn't think about that.
You know, so there's a lot of people put into.
There's a lot that goes into getting this ready. I know that's not everywhere,
but
right?
So there's a lot of stuff getting ready for all the whole ball of wax, the whole picture.
Yeah, lunch my wife ladies. Faculty meaning, custodians.
High five everybody, right? Yeah.
No, seriously.
I agree.
You know, they have volunteers, people that want to go in there and just volunteer to help out with the teacher in a room or whatever they're doing. Yeah, thank you to everybody
After COVID, we know that it's like all of us parents know, like, yeah, these people are special. So yeah.
Anybody that is.
We thank you.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
You got shot.
Oh, this thing is so annoying. I wish if the listeners would do. It kind of jolts you, though.
Can't hear us.
Listen,
don't turn your hearing aids down on us. We know what you're doing over there, Todd.
Ah, boy. Anyway, so good luck to all the people that are involved with school stuff.
Yeah, there's not enough thank yous in this world.
No. Do you have anything before we turn it over to you?
I don't think so. Okay. No, yeah, you're just, yeah, I appreciate you checking.
It took 21 episodes.
21, and you figured it out. Figured it out, did you?
Although I will admit, a few episodes ago, I'm like, you know, it's kind of his thing.
Yeah, so. I know. You're like, God dang it.
Well, hold on. Right before we, you know.
I wish.
Hold on. Yeah.
I wish that you guys could see the looks that I get from Todd, though. That's why I told Jedi, I go, the looks are, sometimes I do it just to get a look.
This isn't on the script.
I know.
Right. I don't have it in the show flow notes. You will not do this to me.
There's a script? Nobody told me.
Supposed to be.
I know.
All right.
I got notes written all over it.
Mr. Sean, I want to tell the listeners what we are going to be.
Oh my gosh.
Sinking into.
When I was putting the Facebook posts together and trying to think about it, I was trying to think very carefully how to put it. And yeah, delving sounds good to me. We are going to discuss the topic of occult Hitler. So it is. And it, I want to say, and I think that's been going through all three of our minds, of course, when we touch a subject like this, number one, I want to say I'm no expert in this. I love history and I enjoy history. I'm not an expert in any of this stuff, but we're going to say what we know. We're not going to delve into the history of the war.
No.
We've discussed that and we've talked about that.
That's for another podcast.
For others to do. Yes. And
read
I love
a book.
Oh, I think I love
War. Watch the History Channel.
Yeah. I love World War II. I love the generals. I love the battles. I don't love that it happened, but I enjoy learning from it and studying it. So I do enjoy that part of it. But that is not where we're going to go with this. We are going to talk about a character in history, Hitler. He's dark. So this is going to be like other podcasts that we've done, where we really have to. You know, we're going to dive into some darkness, but we're going to even it out with some lightness. But it's gonna be fun. We're gonna be respectful because there's a lot of death and destruction in this war, it was definitely one of the most, I mean, if you, it's the dead, one of the deadliest conflicts in history, with the death tolls, and the destruction of Europe. And some countries almost didn't make it out of it. So like we have to, you know, and then obviously with the Holocaust, there is so much there that we want to be respectful of, and we will be throughout this whole time.
And I want to say real quick, this is something I was not aware of at all.
Oh, really?
The occult part of the Nazis, yeah.
Okay.
Until maybe a few months ago. And
yeah.
And you said, yeah. And then I'm like, really? I didn't know they read this stuff.
This wasn't one that you had to say, like, how's this creepy, though? No. Like, this is definitely going to be
creepy. When you mentioned, hey, we got to do that, I was aware by then that Hitler and those and his
cronies, let's say cronies. Yeah. It's a nice
fellow
way to put it.
POSs.
Yeah.
They were into this.
We're not
stuff,
biased.
So I was like, yeah. I didn't know.
They're just trying to be supreme human beings.
Yeah.
By any facet that they can find.
I remember talking to my dad when I was younger, you know, I mean, yeah, you learn the stuff in school, but like he would say flat out, he wanted to make the perfect race.
Yes.
And that was all that was supposed to exist. Cool. And so, but I didn't know any of that. Like whether it was my dad learning in school, you don't hear about the occult, the supernatural part of what they were into.
So this is going to be two parts. So we are going to be very careful not to make this too verbose and too tangential. I'm going to try very hard, and we're going to separate this. I want to lay a good groundwork first, and we're obviously going to get a good start to the discussion. Then we're going to go into a little bit more detail and some even more interesting and a little spooky, scary stuff in the second part. But we want to set a solid grounding. The other thing I want to do, and we're going to talk about this as we go through because we have their research, is, again, we said this before, but we want to hammer this home. We appreciate Eileen and Tommy doing research for us. I reached out to Tommy the other day and just thanked him, and I know Todd has thanked Eileen because we've been they've just been helping us out because this was a big, I call it Goliath, to tackle. I mean,
yeah,
this
was
a big
undertaking.
One.
Yeah, I messaged back
and
forth
we knew it was
with
Eileen
last night because she was, you know, saying, hey, I'm going to send it over.
Yeah.
You know, and I told her, I said, you're going to get a shout out on the episode along with, you know, I said, there's another guy that helped out.
Yeah.
With Sean, you know, I said, so she's like, oh, yay, thank you. Yeah, so.
And
I was going to mention it literally afterward, but that's fine. You mentioned
it.
Was that Eileen's voice?
Do what?
Was that Eileen's voice?
Oh, yeah.
You just imitated Eileen. Eileen, that was all out of love.
She's
I know it was.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, is that what I sound like? Is that what I sound like? I'm not doing Tommy. Tommy's just got, I mean, I could do the coolest voice ever, and then that would be Tommy. So there you go. True story.
Yeah, true story.
That is. It actually is a true story.
Sorry, Eileen. That
I could do a better Eileen, but I won't even try.
Nate threw me off. I was like, what? Oh, yeah, I got it.
I don't know. I heard it and had to go with it.
Yeah. Appreciate that, Nate. Thanks.
So like I said, we are going to delve into this with the help from many people. So
yes,
a little help from our friends.
And we needed it.
We did. So we're going to set this up with the things that I wanted to talk about and really set up was we want to, like, history and the things that have happened, especially the wars, is how did this happen? Like, how do these wars happen? And there's, we don't even have enough hours in the day to discuss that at length. But so we're going to kind of talk about, you know, where Hitler came from to a small degree and how he came, you know, some of the people that he came across that influenced him. And like Todd said, he really was trying, in all honesty, he was trying to become the Holy Roman Emperor. Basically, he thought he was really in the line. He got this in his head, and the people around him, his what we called cronies. There's a line of like Constantine going into Charlemagne and Frederick Barbarossa, these guys that were like soldier kings. You know, that's what these guys were. That's how he saw himself, as like unifying Europe and unifying the world under him, and starting by using this master race. You know, and if we have to kill some people to do that, and some genocide,
it
was part of it. And
it's necessary.
And
gotta weed them out to get the perfect.
And programming
person.
People to be okay with this. Because I truly believe, I mean, I wasn't there, but I truly believe that there was a fair amount of the German people that did not know what was going on. And certainly, if they would have known some of this occultic stuff that was there, I do believe that, you know, I don't know how much, you know, they were brainwashed to a large degree.
Well, and I'm sure you're presented with all that and you're like, either follow us and believe this or alternative is you die.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, okay, I guess I'll follow you.
I'll be on board. Go for it, Hitler.
What do you need me to do?
Yeah.
When you look at this stuff, the German people, and like I said, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not giving them a complete free pass, but they were largely tricked, hoodwinked, bamboozled. I mean, they were, it was, you know, that patriotic, hey, this is, you know, we need to find the roots of our country, where we came from. And this went really, and that's what we're going to talk about, some of this really over the edge stuff. Where they felt like they came from, and make us proud to be Germans again, because you have to think about it. World War One, and Hitler was a soldier in World War One. Germany got beat, you know, but their intention was, you know, conquer and to, you know, to have more power and all that kind of stuff. And after they lost, you know, they were seen as a huge threat. Like, Germany could take over the whole world if we're not careful. So they were so indebted. Their Deutschmark was worthless, basically. It took bucket loads of Deutschmarks to be able to pay for, you know, a loaf of bread. And that's not actually understating or, you know, being overstated. So they're, you know, they were hurting in that sense. And, you know, Hitler, those people that were proud of Germany were trying to find their patriotism again. So to be fair, you know, they were hurting as a country from World War One. So into World War Two, that's where they were trying to find their footing. And that's what otherwise, in any other normal circumstances, I don't think the Nazi Party would have been able to find any kind of footing, you know, with some of the ways that they were thinking. But because Hitler, by all accounts, he was a soldier. He actually survived death several times on the battlefield, and he was seen as very heroic, got a lot of medals and a lot of, you know, got boosted through the ranks.
He was in prison one time.
He did get in prison. Well, yes, that's when he wrote Mein Kampf. Mm-hmm. He tried to take over the government at that point, and it was a failed attempt. Like I said, we're not getting too much into the history.
Yep.
But yeah, he did. That's when he wrote his Mein Kampf, or Mein Struggle. So he was lost soul, though, at that time, and he also had contemplated suicide. So he, in that, that's actually, I have that on this page over here, when he was suicidal, he ran across a guy this Eric von Husen. I'm going to have a hard time with these German names.
I know.
As an astrologer, Hitler ran across him. And that was, like I said, when he was starting to give up whether he was really actually going to amount to anything, he decided to go into politics because he felt like that's how he could make a difference in Germany and to make Germany proud again and strong. This is one of the characters. There are so many different. He came across a lot of astrologers and people that had, you want to call it, pseudo historians and things like that. There's a whole ring of them we could talk about. But this Eric von Husen is one that is, to me, is very interesting because he had planted it in Hitler's head that you know what a mandrake is. It looks like a man. It's a man-shaped root. That if he would go to his hometown, because Hitler was born in Austria back in 1889, if he went back to his hometown and found this mandrake, that he would be able to have special powers and be able to you know, to gain control. And so Hitler had him go back and find the mandrake he needed. So he found it in a butcher's backyard, basically. He brought this to Hitler. And there's pictures of him wearing this vial. And in this vial, he had the mandrake and some verses that he had, that this von Husen had put in there that pertained to this league that bound the mandrake to the root to Hitler and to him. And as long as he held that bond together, he could take over the world and rule the world. Yeah. Okay. So that is not exact, and that's when within 30 days of that, he actually gave him that on New Year's Eve, and by the end of the month, the beginning of the next month, the tide had changed. The Reichstag had a fire, and he ended up. There's no way that Hitler, who was a soldier turned failed artist, who was living on benches and just living like a vagabond, who decided to go into politics, you know, basically from starting to listen to this Nazi party or what the party that became the Nazis, and just kind of working his way up. How did he become this Führer, right? So it was a course of events, and they think that, like I said, he went from being suicidal to having this power. Like I said, the Reichstag fire, was it coincidental that it happened? Was it set on fire? They're not exactly sure. There's even rumors that Han Husen is the one that started it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so they said, I believe that the idea was that if that bond was broken, that within 7 years, that he would basically, the whole thing would fall apart. And which is what happened, which is actually what happened.
Yeah.
So anyway, so he became the chancellor in 33, because within a year and a half after they put him in, as the chancellor, the president of Germany died. And then he, in 34, he was boosted up as the Führer.
Okay. Yeah.
So the ultimate leader. And then that obviously just snowballed
into his power.
Yep. And, making sure that in the minds of everybody that this was, you know, we're supreme, we are the best. So he has the, you know, that's when he, in 1939, he invaded Poland. You know, he had said, I'm not going to try to take over. He was trying to basically just get back some of the land that had been taken from them in World War One. And then it was like, oh yeah, I'm going to start invading. So Poland was first. And then it started spreading. Not just, you know, obviously England became involved. He was wanting to push over into Russia. And, you know, we're talking about a world war that started all over again. So, and again, historically speaking, there's so many different ways we could talk about, like, the hows and the whys and, you know, who to blame and all that kind of stuff. But it got obviously out of control.
He was ambitious. I'll give him that.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, once he started, whoa.
Yeah, he had a plan and he tried to stick to it.
Yep. Yes. So he had, obviously, I liked how I'm going to bring Indiana Jones into it just briefly, but Indiana Jones.
Hey, how did, you know, we've gone.
Henry Jones Sr. asked him, I know, Indy Sr.
How does he do it? He's a magician.
Oh. Indy Sr. makes a quote about when he says, are you going to allow the armies of darkness, you know, to march all over the earth? You know, that's how he tries to get Indiana Jones, you know, attention. And it is, like, you think about it, like, that's what was happening with the armies of darkness marching all over the earth. And I don't know, have you guys seen the Man in the High Castle? Have you watched any of that? It's on Hulu.
No,
I haven't.
There's several. I stopped watching about into the third season, but it's an alternate ending to World War II. So Japan won, Germany won, the Axis powers won. And it's like, what happened in history if Germany won,
flip-flopped.
If the bet, exactly. Yeah. And it is so scary, so spooky. And then it kind of goes back into there. I don't want to give anything away. The Man in the High Castle, it goes into with these alternate reality type things. But it is so spooky to think about, you know, cause there were plans for New York City to be bombed. And in the Man in the High Castle, they talk about when America would have been, attacked. So all those things are super spooky, but it's like, oh my gosh, what if, what if? And there are so many,
what if
certain things wouldn't happened, they could have won World War II. We could have lost, you know, if America had stayed out and hadn't been drawn in, I think that would have been a big factor. The British became this close to losing. So just so many things. But we get into, you know, like I said, him with this Mandrake root, it shows that Hitler is susceptible to superstition and, hey, these are magical powers that are allowing you to be able to have control, right?
And he was interested in all that stuff when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, you know,
yes.
I saw they read a lot of the stuff and so captured his attention.
The Austera is a type of magazine that he had. They said he had almost every, like, copy of it when he was younger.
Yeah.
And that's an esoteric doctrine. They called it aerosophacy, or I'm sorry, am I saying that right? Aerosophacy. And that is about the lost Aryan race, or the Nordic godmen, the supermen. And that's where it kind of got into his head, that there's a master race. And that also goes back into Madame Blavatsky.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about her before in one of the other podcasts. Mm-hmm. And so all those ideas, those occultic ideas.
Man, it got in his head.
Yes. And like I said, the people that he surrounded himself with, there's a whole list of, like I said, astrologers and people that had other ideas. And we can't focus on all of them. There was Hermann Wirth, who was a pseudo historian, and he's the one that basically wanted to make this, it's a Germanic history that they wanted to believe in so bad. And like I said, we're going to talk about some of that too. But he's part of it. And the one that I'm really wanting to focus on is Heinrich Himmler. Himmler was like Hitler's second in command, and he had an obsession with dark magic and occult symbols, items. And then the other one, one of Hitler's best friends was Rudolf Hess. Rudolf Hess was a big believer in astrologers and consulting all the magical powers and all that kind of stuff. And they did get into looking for artifacts. This is where we get into Heinrich Himmler was the one that created the SS. Okay. So it was called the Waffen SS, and SS is German. But those were soldiers that were, at first, these are supposed to be stormtroopers. These are supposed to be the muscle. And they looked like, they made them look so sleek, so, in my opinion, evil looking.
Scary.
They are in every Hollywood movie of, you know, especially Marvel. Marvel does a great job, especially like Captain America, of making those Nazis look so, you know, sleek and scary. Well, that's what the SS were. And they actually had death head rings that each one of them got. And they were, that's what's interesting. We'll get into this a little bit more too, but Heinrich had a castle called the Temple of Doom. We'll talk about it a little bit more, but he actually collected from the dead SS soldiers, collected all their death head rings and kept them in a chest and had them in this particular castle. So it just gets so, so spooky about, you know, how far some of these beliefs went. And that was to keep the energy of, Heinrich in himself was looking to create, he was looking to skew science. Like how far do you want to take science and kind of adapt it into what you wanted to say? And then also at the same time, he was trying to create a new, global or world religion, also equally spooky.
Is it what they call like a new world order? I think that's what they call it in my notes.
And that's what we hear. I mean, we started hearing that like in the 90s from Bush Sr. You know, he actually said, you know, we're basically the new world order. He talked about that very nonchalant. But yeah, I think this is where that's the idea is that this was. But this was a very evil world order, though. Now people looking at it at that time, they felt validated in the way that they were pursuing this. To us, we look back on it, this is just flat out scary, you know, and how close we got to it is even scarier.
Himmler, to me, is actually, because, you know, Hitler gets all the pub and has for all these years.
Uh-huh.
I kind of find Himmler just as fascinating because I didn't know as much. So maybe that might be the reason where I just learned a lot of him. Mm-hmm. And I knew, you know, didn't know everything about Hitler, but I knew a lot, obviously, but I find him just as fascinating.
It's like Hitler was like the head of the body, but he had all these other appendages
that
are equally scary and crazy to go along with.
It's
his
just like
ideals.
Like these, like you said, Hess and all, and Himmler, and it's just a perfect match. I mean, how they came together, knowing or thinking the same thing, wanting the same thing, had the history of being interested in all astrology and mysticism and all this stuff from the ancient days. Yeah, and it's like, oh man, just a perfect match of wackadoos.
That's what they said.
That wanted to dominate the world.
And I think they go through, I've watched documentaries where they go through the top 12 people that surrounded him. And the funny thing is, not funny, but a lot of them were vying for power. You know, they wanted to be either close to the Fuhrer, or if the Fuhrer got knocked off, they wanted to be the top dog.
Yeah.
And that's what's scary, is that it was just a bunch of egos and a bunch of, and the more you get close to, you know, you get away from thinking, you know, we're all under God, you know, this country's under God, and, you know, we try to have good virtues and a good foundation. But you're talking about really evil, creepy stuff.
Yeah.
And, you start, you know, that is your foundation. You are, it's all going to be about survival of the fittest and the survival of the wickedest.
They weren't about doing what's right for humanity.
No,
only the humanity they want to create or have or maintain
their creation
to keep. Yeah. Everything else, all the other millions of people can just die.
Yeah.
You know, if there's just one little hint of something that's makes them impure, I guess, I don't know what else to, you know,
yeah.
to their, you know, to them, they think they're impure. Yeah. You know, they have,
Just wicked, wicked.
So I'm not going to, I want to touch on this because I think this is a real interesting article that was a war history online, but it's Creepy Nazis. And it talks about all the people that surrounded Hitler, but there are 9 occult fanatics who did their best to help Hitler rule the world. It says ambitious individuals draw all kinds of talented and interesting people along in their wake as they rise to power. Hitler and key members of his team were no different. There were 9 occultist men who had a surprising level of influence upon the upper echelons of the Nazi elite. And like I said, we've already touched on a couple of these guys. We're not going to talk about them too much in depth, but that Eric von Hanhusen, he's a mouthful, was a clairvoyant. Hitler visited him on January 1933 after reading a prediction by Hanhusen that Hitler would become Chancellor of Germany, which he did, later that year. In order to ensure success, Hanhusen buried a mandrake root in the town of Hitler's birth during the next full moon. While there is a record that Adolf Hitler made an initial visit to Hanhusen, the clairvoyant claimed that he was visited privately by the Führer many more times. There's a guy named Wilhelm Gunherlet. He met and made friends with Adolf soon after the end of the First World War. Gunderhut was a mystic, had a mystic power that enabled him to discover secret Jews with the aid of the pendulum. Now, the pendulum is going to come up quite a bit in some of the stuff. There was also, he was one of Hitler's first followers and headed up the Nazi propaganda. Propaganda was huge. Goebbels was his propaganda person. Not part of the occult people, but he was definitely one that the mind control of the population was there.
Had a part in it, yeah.
Mm-hmm, big time. Karl Ernst Kraft was a Swiss astrologer who made an uncanny accurate prediction regarding an attempt on Adolf Hitler's life, which there was a whole movie, Tom Cruise, about that.
What was his name again?
This guy's name is Karl Ernst Kraft.
Yeah, see, the first time you said it, you really put that.
Ernst? I don't know how to. Yeah, I'm.
These I've got names some
German.
Lend
I've got German in me, but it's hard to
have to say in certain ways. It's hard. Yeah.
You got to grunt and make noises.
So he had this. He was accurate on this prediction of attempt on Adolf Hitler's life. In 1939, he wrote a letter to his friend Heinrich Fissel, who worked for Heinrich Himmler. So those are all guys tied together. So Dietrich Eckhart was a leading light of the Thule Society. Thule Society will come up in all this.
Yep.
And they believe the Aryan race would produce a white messiah. This goes into distorting Jesus and many ideas. They called Jesus was the Christ in all of this. It's kind of scary. Hans Hornbigger was a... I'm going to ruin all these. Hans Horbugger.
What'd you call him?
I don't know. It's one of those. I should spell these out. Had a vision of creation myth that centered on the universe being formed from massive blocks of ice. Again, this comes into some of this other stuff we're going to talk about. Ludwig Steinyak was another, I'm just making this stuff up now, was another professional pendulum swinger who stunned the Nazis when he was able to pinpoint the location of sunken battleships. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, some of these names, Nate, I don't know if he's really just saying them, like making them up. Or
yeah, you should got really. Everyone should be Googling this and like fact checking this.
You can throw a Vaughn and a Ludwig and a, you know, I don't know.
I got to brush up on my German.
He's got this sold.
Wilhelm.
I'm like, oh, okay, sounds good.
This is Wilhelm Wolf. Was Himmler's personal astrologer.
If that's his real name.
And Karl Wildegut was another of Himmler's associates. He had an entire mythos built up around the German nation.
Wildegut.
That it was nearly 230,000 years old. And when it all began, there were 3 suns in the sky and dwarfs and giants roamed the land. On top of that, Jesus was also German and named and called Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then we're talking about that. This is just interesting. Wildegut was reportedly hired to find the perfect location for the construction of the new German Camelot. So we're trying to find the center of the earth here. And this goes deep.
Go ahead, Nick.
I think I'm just going to go back and play Wolfenstein.
This Wolfenstein 3D. Oh my gosh. Yeah, absolutely.
What about Van Halen? Oh no, I mean, that's a different, talking about Hitler, Himmler was into that whole Knights of the Round Table and
trying to be like a German version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got inspiration from that. Yeah, and I had no idea. And it's just like, how they're grabbing all this stuff and then they all just come together, and it's like, oh boy. Yep.
Well, it seemed like Hitler, he'd just find someone that had some oddity of, you know, oh yeah, I'm into this dark spiritual stuff, and he was like, hey, we just became best friends.
Yeah, True. No, that's yeah, really true. Exactly. Yeah, like, oh, you know what? Yeah. We've got a place for you in our army. Or yeah.
Tell me more.
Yeah, and then he would just believe him, run with it, and I mean, he was already screwed up and already into whatever he liked. But yeah, when you meet other people that claim to, well, I can do this. I did this. I saw. Yeah, or I'm into that. Yeah. Oh yeah. Then just let's go. Let's be buddies.
We need to build a German Camelot. All right, let's go.
Man. Yeah, sounds good to me.
And they did. That's the scary thing is they started to do all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The last one that I wanted to mention with Rudolf Hess, which is, again, a good friend of Hitler's. Rudolf Hess's friend is named Karl Hanschhofen. He was an astrologer. Give me one of those.
That was not.
Was an astrologer. Yeah,
that was a can of Coke being opened.
That was magical.
Mics pick up everything.
Karl Hofschaffner, okay, I'm just making this up, was an astrologer. He had a fateful dream that he should travel to the UK on the 10th of May, 1941. His 1,000-mile solo flight, he told this to Rudolf Hess. So Rudolf Hess took this to heart, he went to UK thinking that he could make a peace treaty. His 1,000-mile solo flight in order to broker peace resulted in the arrest by the Home Guard in his early retirement from the war. So that's a true story. Hess actually, he did in 41, thought he could, that he was supposed to bring peace to it. And they end up just like capturing him and like, thanks, you know. Yeah. And at that point, that's when Hitler started questioning some of this stuff. Like, okay, these astrologers are full of it. And Hitler started kind of like backing away.
Kind of like a letdown. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, but this just so much. So there was so much of an influence of the cult nature.
None of them were as good as Nostradamus though.
Well, Nostradamus comes into this as well. So that's what they were trying to, some of these astrologers were trying to show that the Nostradamus predictions were in favor of the Germans winning the war and the British losing. So they were trying to read into Nostradamus in their favor. Mm-hmm. That's actually in part of
this research. Nostradamus.
Oh my gosh. It's crazy.
Ludwig von Nostradamus.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody's good. Yeah. Ludwig von, yeah. I'll be Todd von Hedges.
Uh-huh. So, I want to touch a little bit because, like I said, we're going to get into some other stuff in part two. But I know we talked a little bit, or you guys probably saw a little bit on the Babelsberg castle. This was Himmler's castle.
Yeah, I've seen pictures and the video that I was listening to, kind of watching, had awesome footage of the castle. I mean, lots of different angles and pictures of it, and it's very, very impressive.
Well, here's what's interesting, and I'm going to, again, I wasn't in all this. I don't know, you know, what this was like, but we're talking chaos. You know, Germany was like, okay, we're going to take over everything. The war wasn't going their way. And a few times in the war, like I said, a few things could have happened. They could have taken, the armies of darkness could have run all over the earth, right? Henry Jones Sr., right? but they didn't. So what's happening though? It's so chaotic there, and so when the Allied forces are coming, it was chaos. My grandfather said, you know, we were getting when they were coming into Berlin. America was not the first on the scene in Berlin when they were overrunning Berlin, and when Hitler was in his bunker and he committed suicide with Eva Braun. At least as history points out, he said, you know, he didn't know they were getting so much chaotic information that, you know, Hitler got out of here and he wasn't really there. And that was a fake that they got. And so he didn't know, but there's stories that he got to Spain and then to Argentina. There's all kind of investigations into that. But there's also, Hitler was also, he was physically deteriorating, mentally deteriorating. So I don't know. I mean, I like to think that history is correct, that he was just at a breaking point and done, you know, that, you know, maybe there was a plan to get him out of there, but they were falling like dominoes, and the men that were surrounding him, if they didn't get captured, they were taking cyanide pills and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I think they got, Himmler got, you know, Heinrich got, taken out, you know, so it was, these people were succumbing to the evil that they were being a part of, you know. But as the Americans and the British and the Russian were coming around them, and they were trying to find, you know, like there was so much art that came up missing, and they did find, there's been cool movies about that.
Oh yeah.
The Monuments Men, that's an excellent movie. But they were finding secret files, artifacts, art, etc. in caves. They found, there's a thing all about a cauldron that they found in the lake that they had thrown in there. They were basically trying to hide this stuff. So the idea, this was the Third Reich. Okay. So there was the idea that Germany had been in the past, had been a world power. And this was the third time coming back. So this was the Third Reich or the Third Reign. And it was supposed to last 1,000 years. It was very religious minded in that sense of sounding. And since this was failing, they were trying to hide everything away so then they could attempt a Fourth Reich at some point. So this was in their mind. This came out of the files they were finding and all these secret, you know, documentations. But what they found was like really, really crazy stuff. And like I said, that's what we're going to talk about. But a good part of that was in Himmler's castle in Vigelsberg was considered what they call the Temple of Doom, because that is what the central for the SS. Like I said, the SS was originally, it was more of an army, the stormtroopers, but then it started dividing into three different sections. And one of those sections became propagated for dark mysticism, and it was there were rituals, magic ceremonies to bind the SS into this deep and dark cult or this new religion, and they were big on. And I'm very careful and very mindful of we're discussing religions here, but they were trying to snuff out Christianity is what they were doing. They felt like Christianity was a Jewish. Obviously, we're getting into the idea of race theories and superiority, but they felt like anything that was tied to Judaism was inferior. Sure. So they were trying to eradicate it. And they were trying to find their way in history. They tried to find a pseudo history, and they felt like they kept hitting roadblocks and like, well, we can't really find, they needed to find artifacts to find what their history was. So that's where, and we're going to talk about that some in the second part of some of these, expeditions that they took to find some of these artifacts and holy relics and things like that to piece it together, their strength, and to be able to show people like, we are meant to rule this world and we'll eradicate whoever we want. We'll start whatever religion we want and we're going to continue on.
They just want a justification. Yeah, you know,
exactly.
Find the Holy Grail.
Yeah. Yeah. Wackadoos. Yeah, I all this is fascinating. It really is. So I hope the listeners, I think they would find it as fascinating, you know, just all this other stuff that you don't really typically hear.
Those death heads rings, they were ordered returned in 1938 by Himmler to be kept in that chest I was talking about. And they said, this was interesting, 11,500 rings are still unknown. It's unknown where their location is.
Oh, really? Okay.
That they never did find them.
Wow.
So that's a mystery. But Himmler expected there to be a great war between the West and the East based on legend, and that he came across or that he created, or he allowed other people to come up with fake histories. So it was Europe versus Asia. And of course, Europe was to rule over, and they were going to win. So that was, to him, it was a prophecy that he was going to, that they were going to be part of that. And he believed it. They said that the things that he looked into and some of these artifacts that we're going to talk about that they looked into, they believed they were real things, and they needed to find them, like I said, to validate their place in history and as the top of this echelon. This gets back into, there is an interesting character that I haven't talked about yet. And did you guys come across Otto Rahn at all? Do you know who Otto Rahn is?
I do not.
He sounds like he'd be some kind of a Hollywood character. He's the guy. And if you look him up, he really did wear like dark clothing, a dark hat. He is considered the shadow figure of the SS.
Oh, okay.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
I don't mean to bring it back to Indiana Jones, but I'm going to bring it back to Indiana Jones. It's kind of like, you know, the guy that's, what shall we talk about? Guy.
Right.
Guy. So, and the guy that gets his, you know, the imprints steamed into his hand.
Yeah.
So, of the pendant. Or the Staff of Ra kind of guy. Do I have a gnat or something around me? That's what I keep swatting at.
Mosquito.
Is it a mosquito? Because he's like flying around
so
my
So Sean's
head.
Over here whack, you know,
I am
swiping. I'm like, what is going
no,
on?
No, I'm not talking with my hands. This is, yeah, whatever. I thought it was a gnat in front of my face. But that are
those hallucinations again. Darn it. I got to
I
my
see
meds.
It too.
No, good.
Share it's next time.
Yeah, exactly. Here, you take him for a while. He's yours. He's every other weekend. So he's an interest. Otto Rahn is interesting because he was Himmler's guy that got into oh my gosh, it gets so complex. It goes into the King Arthur myth, which is fast. Again, we could dive down into that. Percival, which is a whole nother character that's tied into the legends of the Holy Grail. So we're talking about, they really did look for the Holy Grail. This was mm-hmm. not exactly how you see it in Hollywood. But they wanted to tie, you know, that idea that it, cause it goes, again, it goes back into their history that they tie it into of, you know, being, have you guys heard of the Cathars? Do you know who the Cathars are?
Again, the Cathars,
Okay. We're talking, about a group of people that were distinctly separated from the Catholic Church, and they ran independently of the Catholic Church, but they believed in, I would say a different kind of Christianity than what the Catholic Church believed, but they were attempting to basically either start their own religion or kind of, you know, become greater than the Catholic Church. They were a Christian dualistic or Gnostic movement between the 12th and 14th centuries, which thrived in Southern Europe, particularly in Northern Italy and Southern France. Followers described as Cathars and referred to themselves as good Christians and are now mainly remembered for a prolonged period of religious persecution by the Catholic Church, which is, did not recognize their unorthodox Christianity. Catharism arrived in Western Europe in the region of France in the 11th century. They believed that, the practices and beliefs varied by region over time. They denounced their practices, including the rituals for them to be baptized and raised the status of perfect. So they felt like that they could reach perfectionism. Hmm. They also believed in they believed in more than one God. They believed that the Old Testament God was evil and the New Testament God was a good. So it was kind of the devil and God, only it was God and God. Does that make sense? So it gets,
yeah. I mean, Christians today think, you know, they don't believe in the same God, but it's like, well, he was a real mean, you know, mm-hmm. guy in the Old Testament, but oh, he's nicer, you know, in the second New Testament. It's like, no, well, he's the same guy,
right?
Same God and the only God, but you know,
Cathars believe that the good God was the God of the New Testament, creator of the spiritual realm, whereas the evil God was the God of the Old Testament, creator of the physical world, whom the Cathars identified as Satan. So anyway, why I bring this up and they were there, that was a big, you know, the Catholic Church basically eradicated anything that they felt like was against their doctrine, and they you know, it was believed to be you know, you were a heretic basically if you preached against what they thought. So that was a sect that they basically, it was also the Knights Templar was some, they branched out too, even though that they were part of the Crusades and protectors of the faith, they fell out of favor as well. So that there's a lot of deep history in that. But the Nazis, the reason I bring that up is that they brought that into the ideas of the Cathars are believed to be the last people that had the Holy Grail. And there's a castle that they were trying to find the Holy Grail in, that's where they believe it was, in this Montsegur castle.
Oh, okay. That's where the Nazis were trying to mm-hmm. get a hold of the, okay. Or they're yes. searching for the Holy Grail.
Yeah. And
so
there's legends that go into, like I said, that Percival gotcha. had been tied to this. The Pope that actually ordered the Cathars be taken out was Pope Innocent III, which is kind of an interesting Pope name.
Innocent.
But that all ties, like I said, that ties into the Holy Grail, King Arthur.
Yeah. All that.
But this is where Himmler came in and said, this is perfect. So he took all of that kind of stuff and he tries to tie it back into Atlantis. So we're talking eons ago. So he, you know, Atlantis, and it had sunk from being off the coast. They tried to say it was from Portugal. And if you picture where Portugal's at and England, it was basically somewhere in between there out in the Atlantic Ocean, and Atlantis had sunk. But these were Nordic people, and the Nordic people came from the Germans, and they even tried to tie like the Tibetan people, and they were cherry picking who they wanted basically, mm-hmm. and trying to say we came from this strong race. And it even goes extra, you know, off the planet, which gets really kooky. But this is how far Himmler was going into thinking about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like we think, oh, World War II is just good versus evil. People were being killed, you know, in the name of this evil person. And we just think of it very surface level, but there was some really, really, really sick and twisted stuff behind all this.
Yeah. There's a lot more that influenced their thoughts and their actions, why they wanted to do what they did.
Seemed like they're trying to take any mythical story and run with it and saying, well, yeah, we had a hand in that. You know, that's part of our heritage.
Yeah. You know, in my notes that, says that, you know, they believe that the German culture dated back to, this says 228,000 BC.
Yes.
Like, that's how far they've, you know, they think their ancestry is, like, wow.
We're talking about, so the Aryan race, the perfect race, the pure race that they saw was, came from Atlantis, the Atlanteans. And that there is actually in northern Germany, it's a place, and you still visit it. It's called House of Atlantis or House Atlantis. And there is a statue of the Nordic god Odin crucified on the Tree of Life out front. It's a beautiful building inside. I watched it on a video.
Oh, okay.
And the idea, it was erected in 1931, and it was for the study of Atlantis. And the plans, there were plans Hitler had for Berlin to be the world capital. Excuse me. And Hitler was working on that. There's actually in the Man in the High Castle, they show that was how that was coming to fruition. So that's very scary. And then Himmler on the other side of it, besides wanting Berlin as the world capital and having this, you know, the idea of being tied to all the Atlantean people, Himmler was tying his he wanted his new religion, which was to oust Christianity out. He wanted that Weibelsburg to be the center of his cult, of his new religion.
Mm-hmm.
And that was to be what he called it, the Nordic Academy.
Yeah. I'm looking at pictures right now. It's beautiful. Yeah. The House of Atlantis.
Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you look at that? Did you see that at all? I mean, there's so many documentaries out there and there's so much information. I would encourage everybody that has any interest in this. I wouldn't do it very long because like I said, it takes it out of you. Like this stuff gets really kind of kooky, but it's amazing. Like they said, when they found some of these, reports, you know, in caves and whatever, and they're like, is this for real? Like, is this real stuff? But Himmler especially, and like I said, he's not the only one. There was a lot of kooky people that were in Hitler's ear.
Can imagine. They just fed off each other.
That's why, maybe Hitler got away. Maybe he's, you know, they still say there's like people running around with Nazi ideas. That to me is probably the most scary thing. But Hitler had to have been completely out of his mind with being inundated with the war that was failing and this kind of stuff in his ear. And then those people have basically fallen by the wayside. You know, you have to, after a while, just feel the pressure of that. And then, like I said, that immense evil that's behind all of this.
Mm-hmm. And it all started, I think, as a kid. I mean, all those.
It'd be time to be done.
ideas, the readings that he did as a kid, and all the information he gathered. So then as he's getting older and, just how he took all that. And then it just got worse. And then you, it's kind of like when, you know, there's just how a bad person, when they meet another, you know, a serial killer meets another one and they kind of team up it's like, oh man, because they feed off each other. They have the same ideas and they, oh, I like that, you know, then it just makes for a bad.
The other thing is, and we'll never know this, but the other thing to think about is, so if there wasn't a Hitler, would any of this happened? And you can, you know, play devil's advocate and say there were still a lot of people with a lot of kooky ideas. They just needed the right guy to
bring them all together.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, well, like I said, I didn't know anything about Himmler. And I didn't. Mm-hmm. Some of the other guys that Sean mentioned, I had heard of, but right. Himmler, I hadn't. I don't know why. And he was second in command. He was like his right hand man. But
well, and some of these guys, I think
he could have been the Hitler that we talk about.
These guys were the ones that, like, his circle of people would have shown him, like, this is how you get people's attention. Because when he spoke with this intensity that nobody had ever seen before. And it was from the exposure to some of these people that were able to show him, like, hey, this is how you mesmerize people.
Yeah, he was charismatic. So the video passion. I watched today, he learned how to grab their attention, not just be a personality, a charismatic. It's how he spoke with his hands and his fists and intensity.
I saw a thing like Hitler had a personal photographer, and he would practice his pose and how he opened his mouth and his facial expressions and his personal photographer would take these pictures, and they go through the photos and find which ones were like strong and,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
teach himself how to present himself to the masses.
Yeah.
You know,
and unfortunately a lot bought into that.
Oh yeah.
That persona that, mm-hmm. you know, I think a lot of them were just mesmerized. Yeah. How he was talking, like they could, he could have just been blah, 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 said whatever, but just watching him, they're like, oh, this guy knows, he must know what he's doing, or mm-hmm. he must, what he's saying is important without even knowing what he's saying. Yeah. I mean, just the way he, you know, oh, okay, well, he must, you know.
I think the hardest thing is that you look at videos of him and all of, I mean, now that we know what was going on, like I said earlier, my grandfather said they went, when they first started seeing these death camps, concentration camps, he said, it's not like this was known to them. Like they didn't know what they were just kind of stumbling into, holy God, what is this?
Yeah.
And he said there were men lined up puking in the corners, like when they started realizing what this is. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we now think of death camps, and not that we can sit here and talk in some kind of wonderful light, but it's horrific. But can you imagine being one of those soldiers, whether any of the Allied soldiers, coming upon this stuff? And then if you were, you know, and like I said, this wasn't something that the German people were like, haha, we'll just keep this secret until we were the rulers. They were, I think a lot of them were appalled too. They were duped into, oh my God,
really,
what have we been yeah. part of?
Mm. Yeah.
I think,
yeah, you would think that some of them, I mean, obviously probably the majority bought into it and knew, but then
right.
you'd think that, yeah, like you said earlier,
they felt like they were being proud Germans and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Again,
I don't know.
I wasn't there, but I, you know, it, to me, it just, it's,
maybe they didn't know the extreme of the actual evil that was going on, or right. the oppression and the treatment, the torture. Just, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they all did know. I don't know.
My grandfather was, he knew we have German blood in our family. And he said it was kind of weird because he's like, I know this is like where my ancestors come from and I'm fighting against them. But he felt like, hey, this is a good versus evil. And these guys are evil and we got to take them out.
Right's, you know, right is right, wrong is wrong. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't care.
That's how he felt.
I mean, you know,
right.
Well, and they're ruling by fear. So, I mean, that's a big motivator too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you fear the masses and then you have control over them.
Mm-hmm.
Make them do whatever you want them to do.
Well, and if mm-hmm. you have people under mind control, and in my opinion, that's what a lot of the Nazi, you know, this was, like I said, this was a religion to them. This was, there was magic involved. There was dark arts involved. And this was, you're under that spell. You know, you're going to fight to the last man. They had in Berlin, they had kids still with the Nazi youth that were fighting to the last person, thinking, you know, they still had this idea. He had, I mean, there's one of the movies about Hitler's last days. It shows him lining these kids up and like, I'm proud of you kind of thing. And like, they're still going to win. And it's like,
knowing it's over,
sick,
but
sick,
yeah.
he's
sick
still
stuff.
Not. Yeah. yeah.
Sick
didn't,
stuff.
Didn't they like delve into telepathy and all that kind of stuff too?
Mm-hmm. Oh, they were into
anything spiritual. Or
I don't think there wasn't anything they were into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There goes, yeah, there's room for a lot of other talks too, is mm-hmm. the Russians went into a lot of mind control, and there's a lot of idea, but they, mm-hmm. In these concentration camps and Himmler, and they had a lot of, and some of the doctors involved, they did a lot of disgusting experiments on people. They learned a lot about like the extremes human bodies can go to, and just awful, awful things. They learned from these kind of things, but this is not something that you would ever be like, oh, let's research this. The Germans, and they're in warfare, there have been a lot of experimentation, and it is disturbing to say the least. Mm-hmm. But yes, absolutely, the Germans were part of that. Yes.
Yeah.
So I thought I saw a documentary years ago where, you know, on this whole same occult subject,
mm-hmm.
that they're looking into flying saucers and alien technology.
That's part two.
Oh, okay.
This is a great time to bring that up, but that's on the flip side.
Yeah. I didn't know how you had it split up.
No.
I don't think there, honestly, I don't think there's anything they left out.
No.
As
that's,
far as, you know, out of the norm.
That's what's mind boggling to me. Yeah.
And they just ran with it.
If we can find Bigfoot, we can clone him and then we can have an army of Bigfoot.
Right.
Great idea. Let's do it.
What's German for Bigfoot?
Yeah.
If they could somehow, conjure him up, justify there is a Bigfoot, we'll use him. And
mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything they really, didn't think of or use or whatever to whatever is going to make them win or, you know. It's really, think about what we're talking about. It really sounds like we're making up a movie. We're talking about a,
well, there's so
it's
many
like we're talking
movies.
About science fiction.
Yeah.
This is real history, real awful, mean, evil people.
Yeah, we're not
into
even,
this stuff.
We're not even going into.
We haven't even gone in really into the.
This we even gotten into the wackadoo stuff yet, and we're getting there. But this is interesting, yeah. So, but this is the way that we made this foundation, though. And like I said, I knew this wasn't going to be easy, but it is fun in its own right.
It really,
it's
I mean, interesting. It's, yeah, it's while so, we're talking about who we're talking about is terrible. But
that's why this is two parts.
It is kind of it's still fascinating. Still
well, like you said earlier, it's like. You hear about the World War II and Hitler and the Nazis and all that kind of stuff through history class, but they don't teach you this part of it because everybody considers it, you know, taboo, irrelevant.
It's not real.
Whatever. It's not real. Yeah, they're doing dark arts and trying to do this
talking
stuff.
Talking about magic, but.
It's all hocus pocus, whatever. You
and
know.
They should talk about it because it's what these real people at this real time were. Into and so they should mention it. It doesn't matter if the teacher doesn't believe it or I mean that's they should still mention it. It has something to do. It led them or assisted them into what they were going to do or what they were trying to do.
It was their motivation.
Especially when you have more than one guy. They're all coming together with those crazy things.
My biggest thing is like I said, I'm trying to be very respectful about all this. That's why we're gonna tie this darkness up with some lightness and I'll be doing that here on both the episodes. But when I was a kid, my grandfather, like I said, he would sit down and talk to us about World War II. So I was always fascinated by it. I thought it was interesting. He didn't like to talk about it a lot, but he had maps. My brother still has those maps of he was in the Battle of the Bulge. And so he showed us troop movements.
Very cool.
And I have all kind of, they brought home Nazi stuff. They brought home American stuff, whatever they could find. They shipped it back over here, guns and flags. And I've got a Nazi flag that part of you thinks, oh, that's just like perpetuating evil, but it is a piece of history.
It happened.
It did. And it's one of those things where I think someday our families probably, we have holding on to it, but someday it probably needs to be donated, you know, to a museum or whatever, but it belongs in a museum, but, you know, kind of thing, but it's part of our family. It's part of our history and it is.
I get it. Yeah. I totally get it.
So I have the utmost respect, but so yeah, this is probably a good place to,
I think it's a good place to wrap up part one before we get into, Sean's middle-aged moment.
Yeah. So now again, since we've got another part coming here, I thought really hard about this because I really wanted to, for both of these parts, I want to impress upon the fact of, like I said, it does not, I don't think we can talk this stuff, you know, and like I said, we're leaving a lot of history out of this, but we want to talk about, just all the souls lost. You know, there were 6 million Jews, that were eradicated from this world. During that period, and that to me
just for being
lays
who they were
heavy
yes. how they were born. Their I mean, religion. There's no really they didn't do anything wrong.
No,
and
so they didn't do anything sick. Against the law. They didn't, you know,
they just didn't measure up.
Oh, you're
did
Jewish.
They? Yeah.
All right. Well, death sentence.
Yeah,
that was in the
camp, you're below us.
The death camps and all that kind of stuff. So they eradicated that many people. There were 19.3 million civilians that were killed and POWs. There were 28.7 million soldiers and civilians in the theater of war. I mean, that's why that when I say deadliest conflict in history and the death and destruction and chaos, that's why I said I don't know how my grandfather survived mentally when he came back. Neither my father or my grandfather came back the same. I know that because war changes a person. But this is crazy. I mean, honestly, so I don't know how they did it.
A little side note, but I've never really looked into it per se, but I wonder. What kind of I don't know, hauntings or ghost type things
we're going to talk a little bit
reside at the Holocaust, you know.
Well, that's
camps
a good,
and stuff.
Yeah. That's a good.
I've never really looked into that.
Yeah.
I've heard a little bit of it.
That's a good question.
And I'm sure it's just stifling with so much stuff.
The energy there. I've never visited. I can only imagine. Yeah. Like I do want to. I want to go. I want to visit a lot of places in Europe. But like World War II museums and the Holocaust museums and some of these camps, Auschwitz, and I just can't.
Yeah, that's always the thing. Auschwitz,
I can't remember. I can't imagine. So, but on this one, so like I said, we've talked about a lot of dark stuff. We're going to talk about some more. So we're getting into this. But somebody I want to bring that's a bright point in all of this is Oscar Schindler. So Schindler's List, there was, you know, Spielberg made a beautiful movie. If you've not seen Schindler's List, it's worth a watch. It is beautiful. It is enduring. So Oscar Schindler, just give you a second to kind of talk about him, was a German industrialist and a member of the Nazi Party. So he was a Nazi who's credited with saving the lives of 1,200 Jews. And now I think he didn't even realize how many he saved at that time, I don't think. So 1,200 Jews during the Holocaust by employing them in his enamelware and ammunitions factory in occupied Poland and the protectorate of Bohemia and Bavaria. So at the time, like I said, you can sit there and see him as one of the bad guys. So he kept these people protected and safe. So they, like I said, that was his list of people that he protected. So when the war was over, he got up and spoke, and this is in Schindler's List. I think it's verbatim in there. What he said to the people that he saved. This is Schindler. The non-conditional surrender of the German armed forces has been announced as hundreds of thousands of privates of a broken army fled back along country roads into their homeland after millions of victims have died in 6 years of mass murder. And as Europe attempts to return to peace and order, I would like to turn to all of you, those of you who have been with me throughout these many difficult years, and have feared that this day would never come, to all of you who in a few days will return to your destroyed, plundered homesteads, searching for survivors from your families. I appeal to all of you to strictly maintain order and discipline. This will minimize panic, the consequences of which would be unpredictable. In his proclamation today, Montgomery has declared that we must deal with the defeated in a humane manner. We must differentiate between guilt and duty. The soldier on the front, like the common man who does his duty everywhere, should not be held responsible for the actions of a few who also called themselves Germans. The fact that millions of you, your parents, children, and brothers, and have been murdered was not acceptable to thousands of Germans, and even today there are millions of Germans who do not know the extent of these atrocities. Mm-hmm. The documents and records found in Dachau, Buchenwald, and other camps are the first pieces of evidence pointing to this monstrous destruction. Nevertheless, I ask you to behave in a humane and just manner. Leave the prosecutions and revenge to those who have been assigned to these matters. If you have accusations to levy at anyone, do so with the proper authorities, because in the new Europe there will be judges, incorruptible judges, who will hear your pleas. Many of you know the persecutions, harassment, and obstacles that I have to overcome in order to keep my workers during these terrible years. Although it was already difficult to protect the limited rights of the Polish worker, to help keep his business, protect him from being deported into the Reich, protect his property, and preserve his modest belongings and assets, the difficulties of protecting Jewish laborers often seemed insurmountable. So I'm going to skip forward just a little bit because there's quite a bit. He pours his heart out into trying to have peace and keep everybody calm. So he says, "Do not thank me for your survival. Thank your own people who have worked day and night to save you from annihilation. Thank the dauntless Stern, Pimper, for those who, in the course of their duty, above all in Krakow, which is in Poland, looked death in the eye at every moment, thought of everyone, and cared for everyone. This solemn hour reminds us of our obligation to remain alert and maintain order as long as we remain here together. I ask you all among yourselves to decide upon course of action that all that are humane and just. I thank my personal staff for their restless sacrifice for my work, to the SS guards and the Marines who were assembled here, who were assigned to this duty without their consent. I thank you also. As heads of families themselves, they have long realized the capricious and senseless nature of their orders. They have behaved in an extraordinarily humane and proper manner. In conclusion, I ask all of you for 3 minutes of silence to remember the innumerable victims who have fallen from your ranks in this terrible times. Oscar Schindler."
Oh yeah.
Like I said, I cut out a little bit of that. But he was, and this, it's very powerful in the movie. And then at the end, he basically tells them, "I'm going to be fleeing. This is, you know, I can stay with you until basically midnight. And after that, I'm going to run from the authorities because they're going to be after me. I'm a Nazi." And that's what he did. But they sent with him a letter that was signed by all of them that he saved and said, if you come into trouble, given this letter, it will explain everything that you've done and that basically the hero you are. And it shows him. And I'm sure there's some Hollywood to this, but it is touching and it is hard. I'm getting chills just talking about him. But he's sitting there at the end saying, just lamenting about, I could have saved one more.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, this pen, it's gold. I could have saved two people with that. My car, I could have saved 10 people. I could have saved. He's sitting there like just, I bet he's for the rest of his life, he lived into the 70s, the 1970s. So he lived, and I bet he just lived with that, like, oh my gosh, I could have saved so many. And the people there are saying, listen, you saved countless people.
Yeah.
You know, even there's 6 million dead. Yes, that's a lot of people. But you saved people's lives, and you should be proud of that.
You did the best you could with what you had.
So I wanted to share Oscar Schindler.
Yeah,
you know, like I said, this is, and not everybody knows who Schindler is. Like I said, there's a movie about him, but people, before that movie, a lot of people didn't know who Schindler was.
Right, right.
Schindler's List, like I said, now to us is like, oh yeah, it's commonplace. But really, watch that movie. Think about him. Think on, you know, those people that you can think, oh, this was a villainous guy that did awful things and was part of evil. And by all accounts, he was. But he had decided, like, I may not be able to get out of this, but I'm going to save people in my position of power.
Yeah.
On the side of evil.
You're right.
And he's a beautiful soul.
He decided to do right.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, like and I said, that's my way to brighten that first part. Yeah, I'll do it again on the second one.
I'm looking at his Wikipedia. Yeah, he died in 74
uh-huh.
at the age of 66.
Yeah.
Pretty young. I mean, still pretty young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I thought maybe
and the war was over in 45. So that's still a good amount of time that he had to live. I'm sure.
Just short of 30 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 29 years worth.
Yeah.
Of, yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Thank you, Oscar.
Lamenting, yeah.
Thank you,
I mean,
exactly.
You go through something like that, and that's what you've done, and you helped out the best you could. But I'm sure. I mean, yeah, you rack your brain for the rest of your life, going, "Oh, I could have done this. I could have done that. I could have saved so many more." But yeah, I mean,
and just
I guess
you.
that's what you have to live with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you did the best you could, but you always feel like you could do more,
right?
Yeah, you know? I think that's our nature. We always think we can, yeah. Well, and just him probably thinking, how did this whole thing start? How did this? Why did this happen?
Yeah.
You know, why did we? Yeah,
like I said, we've mentioned. You know, if we're just talking on a very broad level of World War II, it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
But we're taking it down to some more interesting things. This is where, like, history. It's got some interesting aspects mm-hmm. that we don't always get. Wouldn't you have paid attention to history if you would have listened to some of this? No.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. That's
you
true.
Know what I mean? But that's why I felt like
it'd been a different spin on what happened.
Yeah.
We can tackle this kind of subject and still do it with number one. Like I said, we love to have fun. We love to enjoy. But this is a serious subject, and I'm trying to take it with all seriousness. But there's some you turn over some stones in this, and you're like, this is pretty interesting too. And like I said, I feel like we can, you know, and there are young people here that, you know, learn this stuff in school and think, I've got questions. I've been trained ever since I was a little kid, question everything. And so this is my way of questioning things and saying, why don't we talk about this? Why don't we understand more about this? Cause I think, God, we don't want to do this again. Do we want to do this again? No, I don't think we want to be part of this.
Well, I think you start getting into this stuff and it gives a little bit more insight and motivation to what Hitler was wanting and striving for, where he is coming from. Mm-hmm. Why was he so evil? Well, he is into all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that because he was into that stuff, he just used it for, he got into it and then unfortunately he did what he did with it. Doesn't mean everybody would do it, but
yeah,
it's kind of like a perfect match. Like I was saying, him, I think he was just from the get-go. Like he was great wackadoo.
We can look at
young, as a young person, and then he just took all this stuff and just, oh my gosh, look what it built. And then he hooked up with these other guys that had the same background.
Well, and certain things were told to him, and they came true. So then that swells your ego and your confidence, and nothing worse than someone with super confidence, you know.
Oh man,
we can look.
And nobody's there to keep them in check and say, okay,
look. So now it's like I can do anything.
And
you have the confidence to strive for that.
And I know we'll mention, but he was literally himself, and he was told, like, he was the Messiah.
Right.
He thought of himself as the Savior. And
see, we can look.
And once they had that complex, good.
You get enough people telling you that, then,
right.
Well, exactly. I guess I am.
I mean,
And like I said, we can take comfort in looking back and thinking, oh, well, there's no way he would have been able to do this. But he could have. And that's, I think that's the scariest part of this is what if the what ifs of,
I agree,
this would have come to, mm-hmm, to fruition. So anyway, that was my middle-aged moment.
Cool. Bring us out of the darkness. Very interesting. Thank you.
Yeah.
So we'll end this with the announcements. We want to tell you, obviously, that you can get a hold of us at our email address, mako2aspodcast@gmail.com. So you can get a hold of us with your stories. We'd love to hear your stories, your accounts. We can keep things, anonymous, or you can tell us if you're okay with us sharing your name on air. That's perfectly okay. Whatever you want to do. You guys can also, order merch of all kinds, with our logo on it. Would oblige you with just about anything that you want.
Hey, October is just around the corner. October. Halloween. Ooh. Hey, some nice hoodies, sweatshirts, or t-shirt, whatever,
It will. Yeah, this is right.
I'm jealous real quick. I'm jealous of, Jerry and Hillbilly Horror Stories. Uh-huh. They have scented candles now.
Oh,
did you see that with, I think it's pumpkin spice he was talking about. I'm like, oh man,
they broke
that's
down,
what we need.
They
we
broke
need.
Down the door, didn't they?
Yeah, we need candles.
We do. You're right. Hey, we're going to get there. What'd you say? 4.5 months.
Barely.
Going into 5 months and barely. Yeah. So, like I said, we got merch, and you can message us and find us on Facebook, Instagram, or email us that order, of course. And like I said, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, at Middle-Aged and Creeped Out. So find us there. We have groups. You can, please feel free to join our groups. We'd love to have you. We'd like to have some fun on there and interact.
We're getting close to 300.
We are on Facebook. And then how many on Instagram? Because I don't
know. We had 120, and then it dropped down to 119. So somebody unfollowed us.
That's all right.
Who are you?
We'll forgive him.
Nope, wrong page.
So, yeah, it's all fun. Yeah.
That works. So,
yeah, wrong page.
Darn it. Yeah, all right.
Not these guys.
I was looking for a different kind of creepy.
Or different middle aged. Maybe. I don't know.
We
who knows?
Cannot thank you enough for the encouragement, the listens, the support, family, friends,
thank you.
We don't know all around the world. We are finding more and more cities. We just talked about that before we started recording. Of all the countries and the new cities that are listening.
It's very overwhelming.
It is.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
Texas is big.
It's fun, yeah.
Seattle out there.
Yeah, Seattle's a new one.
We've got several in California.
Yeah, these towns that we've never heard of, and then they're pretty decent size.
We thought, we're used to Indiana, having some big Indiana cities in there, but they're not that they're not big, but they're being superseded by some of these cities.
Oh, I know.
It's super exciting, actually.
Let's see, who was it? Peoria, Seattle. We think Anderson was a new one. Assuming Anderson, Indiana. Brisbane. Because you said
Brisbane.
Australia.
Australia,
yeah. Brisbane, mm-hmm. Brisbane. And then Lompoc is in California.
It's
so,
California,
yeah.
City, yeah.
Shout out to
El
you guys.
Cajon.
And everybody. I know we haven't mentioned every city or
every
country. So we thank
lots.
Everybody.
We appreciate it. You can listen to us on any major platform that you want to. iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, however you want to listen. And we're on just about everything out there. And we always, like I said, we have a lot of fun here. We want to make sure that we're always tying this back to the importance of mental health. We're having a community here that we want you to feel part of and feel like you can, not be ostracized or feel odd or weird or whatever. You can share who you are here. But one thing is, I know we're all dealing with life and, we want to give out these mental health hotlines. So the substance abuse and mental health hotline is 1-800-662-4357. Those last four help. And the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. And that last four on that is talk.
Awesome. Thank you.
No problem. It's my pleasure, honestly.
It's your pleasure.
It really is.
Like Chick-fil-A. My pleasure.
My pleasure. My pleasure to serve you all.
But yeah, we just want to thank all you guys that listen, give us your time, and everybody that's joining our groups. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
We notice that, and we notice the numbers, and really appreciate all that. So yeah, you guys are awesome, and spread the word. Tell people, tell your friends, family. Hey, there's these three guys that are middle-aged and almost said creepy. They're middle-aged and creeped out. So yeah, give us a try. If not.
Yeah, if you like it, I'm sure someone else would like it too.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Well, don't go too far. We got a part two to this.
Part two coming up.
And for this one, unfortunately, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. You heard it from the man. Well, thanks, Nate.
It's official.
It's official. So we want to thank you guys for listening to episode 21. And until next time, creepies, Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged
and creeped out. Keep it creepy.